So I think most of you know that Josh sang this song, Mary, Did You Know, at our Christmas program this year. And I asked him again to sing it again today. It was interesting, as I was talking to him and some other younger adults about a message that I had given the first Christmas that I was here, I said, you know, I did a message one time, what did Mary know? And I don't usually hear people get excited about a message that I've done. Maybe you are, but I just don't hear it. And there was just like this really wonderful response. And I realized that probably most of you have not heard this message, certainly not in the form it is today. And so today we're going to revisit that Mary song, What Did Mary Know? What did Mary know, or Mary, did you know, the song? We're going to be in Mary's Magnificat today in Luke 1:46, what we read. But Mark Lowry, of all people, wrote this beautiful song. I think it was 1984. 6 years later, Buddy Green put it to lyrics, put it to music. And it's been recorded by everybody who's anybody ever since then. It's a very, very popular, meaningful Christmas song, sung probably in many churches, just like we have today, here today. So, what did Mary know? In fact, probably the best place for us to find out what Mary did or didn't know is the Scriptures, right? And that's where we're going to go today. And our primary source is going to be the Magnificat, because Mary tells us a lot about what she knows or knew right then and there. But certainly we'll be sharing Scriptures from other places, and we'll point those out. We begin with something that's extremely important. Mary knew the Scriptures. If you got a message insert, you'll see there's like seven things that Mary knew, and of course there's going to be more than that, but seven specific things that we've written down in outline form, and that's my outline. It's not perhaps complete, but it is to me. Her song reflects a deep knowledge of the Scriptures. This song is saturated. Mary's song is saturated with Old Testament quotes, concepts, phraseology. It shows that Mary had a deep familiarity with the law, with the Psalms, with the prophets, which make up the Old Testament. Probably the most references in this song are to the Psalms and to Isaiah. We think Mary patterned her song after Hannah's song. If you look back in 1 Samuel chapter 2, this is another song that was written after a woman who had a child. Well, Mary's song was written after her understanding that she was going to have Jesus, the Savior. Hannah wrote a song concerning the son that she was going to have, or actually did have, because she sang the song after she took her boy to Eli to serve there in Shiloh. She had prayed that God would give her a son, and God opened her womb, and she had a son. And when she came, the day came to bring her son, as she promised, as she had dedicated her child, to bring him to Eli and to bring him to Shiloh to serve there in the presence of the Lord. She had her song, Hannah's song. When you look at Hannah's song and you look at Mary's song, you can see that Mary was very familiar, and it kind of echoes what her song was. Hannah's song is a song of triumph over her enemies, and Mary's song contemplates the mercies of God. So Mary really knew the Scriptures. She really knew the Scriptures. When did she sing this song? She sang the song after she went to see her relative Elizabeth. She found out about Elizabeth, who was older on, probably too far along to have children, was having a child. John the Baptist, she had to go, so she went there. Probably a 4 to 5 day trip. It may be that during the time that she was traveling, she kind of composed this song in her head. But after she met with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth said, at the sound of your voice, the child in my womb, John the Baptist leaped. How is it that the mother of my Lord is here? It is on the heels of that in the Scripture that we have Mary's song. Mary was a young girl. But she shows amazing knowledge of the Scriptures. Matthew 12:34, the last part says, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. I put it out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it seems like this was just spontaneous, that Mary, there at her relative's, we like to say cousin's house, upon hearing this testimony, this confirmation from a relative, just bursts forth with this song. You can't do that if you don't know the scriptures. And she knew them. And it's remarkable because, I mean, we've got Bibles, all kinds of Bibles, right? I've got Bibles in almost every room in the house. I've got them in my office. I've got them in my car. I've got them in my truck. Everywhere I go, I got a Bible. But they didn't have Bibles back then. If you're going to learn the scriptures, you went to synagogue and you got it there. Perhaps you were taught in your home. That's where Mary got her information. She didn't have her own Bible to study. And she was a teenager. We don't know how old, but we think she was an early teen. Could you imagine one of our teenagers composing this psalm, this Magnificat? Could you imagine when you were a teenager, you writing this particular song? Probably the songs that she learned were from the book of Psalms, but her knowledge of the scripture is just incredible, and her age even makes it more amazing. Mary knew the scriptures, and Mary knew how to worship. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." That word exalts, my soul magnifies. The first word in the Latin Bible is exalts. That's where the word magnificat comes from that Latin word. Mary dwelt on the greatness of God. How often, look at this later on, how often do you see the personal pronouns? He is, he has. It's all about God. Other people are mentioned, but the focus is all on God and his greatness. My soul has exalted. It continues to. Perhaps it began when the angel came to her and spoke with her. And exalted is also an emotional response to what she knew. And it's not a tame word. In my mind, when I hear that, I think of my team, my sports team, being behind and winning the game in a thrilling victory. My soul exalts in God my Savior. So Mary had knowledge of the scriptures, but it was more than that. She was rejoicing. Mary worshiped with her whole being. There's Hebrew poetry going here. The same terms, just kind of stacked up, synonymous terms. My soul, my spirit, exalt. They magnify the Lord. It's just a reminder to us, isn't it? When we worship, when we praise, we don't want to go to either extreme. We don't want to be unattached emotionally. We need to mean what we sing. We need to be active in our hearing of the Word of God. Yeah, we don't want to get too crazy either, right? Because we don't want it to be all about emotions. There's a balance that's there too. Mary's got this balance of information, of knowledge of the Scripture, and emotions. And it's present there in her worship. There's a third thing we know about Mary. Mary knew that she needed a Savior. The Bible doesn't tell us that Mary is to be venerated. It doesn't tell us that we're to pray to Mary. She was an ordinary human being with a unique privilege. She was honored, greatly honored. She was blessed by God in a way that no one else ever has been or will be. She was the one who, by God's choice, was able to conceive and to deliver and to raise Jesus Christ. We need to keep our perspective about Mary. Tremendous privilege, tremendous honor, godly young woman, but a person. There's a couple of verses in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, that kind of highlight, I think, our thinking, how it needs to be. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, on the contrary, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." So the Lord himself gives us a little perspective. Mary was a godly young lady. She knew the scriptures well. She had the approval of God in her life, but Mary herself expressed that she had a need for the Savior. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. She knew that her sin had separated from God, that she needed forgiveness. And she came, I believe, to faith in God. Mary had faith in her Savior before her Savior died. How could she be saved ahead of time? By faith, right? Abraham believed God. God saved people before Christ's death on the cross on the basis of their faith, on the basis that Christ would die for sins. God saw that as an accomplished fact. Mary knew she needed a Savior, and she knew her baby is the Savior. Here's where I had a little problem with the song, Mary, Did You Know? The song asked, Mary, did you know that the child that you've delivered will soon deliver you? Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to look at this. Mary knew quite well, quite completely, that her child is and was the Savior. Mary, did you know that your little child is going to walk on water? Yeah, I don't know why she would know that. Did you know that he would calm the storm? I don't know how that she would know that. Those are details. Did you know that he would give sight to a blind man? Well, that's possible, because that was one of the things that the Old Testament attributed that the Messiah, that Jesus would do. The Bible overwhelmingly confirms that Mary knew that Jesus is the Savior. Remember, the New Testament was written. The things that she knew, that she had confirmed to her, are in our New Testament, but they weren't in the Bible yet. But she knew them from a number of sources. The angel came and told her the message from God himself. It was confirmed by her relative Elizabeth's testimony and Elizabeth's baby's actions. John the Baptist leaped in her womb, and what did Elizabeth say? How has it happened that the mother of my Lord would come to me? It was confirmed by the angels to Joseph. Remember Joseph's dilemma? I don't know what to do. I like Mary. I love Mary, but she's pregnant. It's not me. I don't know what happened. The angel came and explained to her that she was found to be pregnant, but it was by and through the Holy Spirit. And what did the angel tell him? She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Mary knew Jesus was her Savior, the Savior. It was confirmed by the shepherds and the angels. That night that Jesus was born, the angels spoke. They didn't sing. The shepherds came, and what did they say? For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I love it when it says Mary treasured these things in her heart. Later on, what? It was confirmed by Simeon and Anna there at the temple in accordance with Jewish law. 40 days after Jesus was brought forth, and Simeon blessed. And he thanked God because he knew that God had promised him before he died he would see the Savior. And he says, I can die in peace now because I've seen the Savior. Anna gave testimony to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Mary's testimony and her song confirms she knew that she bore the Savior. Mary knew she was the one chosen to bear the Savior. Her words in verse 54, he has given help to Israel, his servant, speaks to the promise of a Savior. So what else did Mary know? She knew that Jesus was not only the Savior, but her Savior. She knew that Jesus would occupy the throne of David. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Yeah, she knew he would be king over all the peoples, that his kingdom would have no end. Luke 1:35, the angel, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Remember the Magi when they came, probably a good year later afterwards? What did they say? We have come to worship he who is born the King of the Jews. And they brought gifts for a king, gold frankincense and myrrh. Mary knew that Jesus is the Savior, that He is King, and that Jesus is the Son of God, God Himself. I love this. Mary, did you know when you kissed your little baby, did you know that you kissed the face of God? Well, yeah, she knew that. I know that Mary and Joseph had the talk. What did the angel say to him? Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God is with us. So these other questions in the song, she had to know the answer to those too. Mary, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? Well, yeah, God lives in heaven. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Well, yeah, God made everything and upholds everything. Mary, did you know that the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? Well, yeah, that's another name for God. Mary, did you know? Yes, yes, yes. Here's another thing Mary knew. Mary knew how greatly God had blessed her, that she was a recipient of God's blessing. She says three things in particular. For God has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. And I think that's talking about her status in the world. She was probably a poor teenage country girl from an obscure country in a subservient country. And I think not only did she know socially her standing, but she knew her standing before God for the humble estate. Because she knew she was a sinner in need of a Savior. She said this, for behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. She knew her status had changed, at least her social status. She knew that her spiritual status had changed as well. This isn't pride. This isn't pride. Romans 12:3 talks about a person not thinking about himself more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, righteously, and godly, right? Mary is making an accurate statement. All future generations will call me blessed. She's acknowledging the blessing of God. She gives God the credit. There's a third thing. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. God is powerful and holy. He does this for those who fear Him. So if we all just took a moment right now, could you just bow your head and burst forth in praise to God for all the things that He's done for you? All the blessings, spiritual, physical, temporal, all the blessings that He's given to you. Mary has hers recorded. Isn't that great? It took humility to endure the good with the bad. Not all that Mary knew is what we would call positive. Mary knew by personal experience the social stigma and backlash that came from being perceived as a mother who conceived a child before she was married. Social stigma then was so much greater than it is today. Later on, when Jesus was ministering in his public worship, they threw this in his face. We were not born of fornication. Yeah. Mary knew by personal experience the social backlash. She had to know from the primitive conditions that she delivered Christ, that even though she had this tremendous honor, and she knew that Jesus is God, King, and Savior. She knew it was going to be a rough road. She had to know. I mean, this is interesting. I bear the Christ, and I'm in a stable, and we got no place to put him. We'll put him here in the manger. Mary had to receive a clue from Simeon, who said, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And a sword will pierce your soul. I'm going to talk about this at the end of the message. But there's a little heads up there. She had to know by the reaction of Herod, who tried to kill Jesus, and she was told to flee. She and Joseph were told to flee to Egypt. And even when they came back, no, don't go there. Don't go back home, you need to go over into Galilee. You need to go somewhere else because Archelaus, Herod's son, is still after him. So Mary knew her blessings, and she knew what a cost those blessings would be. And sometimes we have that in our lives as Christians, right? We are so blessed by God in so many ways, and yet it's a mixed bag, right? There's the blessings of God, and often the cost of following him and being obedient to what he has given to us, and he's given to us to do, and can be some difficult things. And Mary had that balance. She knew that. Mary knew that God had blessed her, and Mary knew that God cared for all people, that he's particularly merciful to a particular kind of person, to those who fear him, to those who reverence his name. We know a person is saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but I'll tell you this, a person will never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ until they fear God, until they have a reverence for God, until they understand who God is, holy and righteous and all-powerful. You keep going with the superlative. When we understand and reverence and fear him for who he is, and then we see ourselves and understand our need, because we are sinful, fallen creatures in need of a Savior. Mary knew that God particularly cares for people who fear him. Three particular types of people are mentioned here in verses 51 and 52. The helpless, the humble, and the hungry. For the helpless, he has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God is powerful on behalf of those who are helpless. In those days, they didn't often have someone to champion their cause, to bring them justice, civil rights, if you want to put it that way. Talks about with his arm. Often in the scripture, it talks about the arm of God in reference to his mighty strength. Psalm 89:10, you scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. God brings down the proud. He makes them low. He scatters them. God has the last word. God is merciful to the humble. The Lord brings those down who are proud. He exalts the humble. He has brought down, verse 52, has brought down rulers from their thrones and exalted those who were humble. Mary may have been thinking about Pharaoh in Egypt and what God did there. She knew her Old Testament. In the New Testament, we're probably thinking about the rich man and Lazarus and the reversal that happened, and the rich man who lived sumptuously, who dined. Whew, he had just a spectacular life. And Lazarus just hoping for the crumbs that fell off his table to get him before the dogs got him. And when they died, Lazarus went to be in the presence of the Lord, and the rich man did not. He went to the other place. He has brought down rulers from the throne. He has exalted those who were humble. God will humble the arrogant and bring them down. And he will exalt and lift up those who humble themselves and see their need for a Savior. Third thing, the hungry. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. Back then, they had a different view of things. They thought that God's blessing was on those who had a lot. The rich would have abundance, others wouldn't. Mary, moved by the Spirit, went beyond the accepted thinking of the day. This applies beyond physical food to spiritual food. We know that Jesus met the needs of people who were physically hungry in some of the miraculous things, like the feeding of the 5,000 plus, feeding of the 4,000 plus. But we know that Jesus fed. He met the needs of those who were spiritually hungry. I think Mary understood that the Savior was for all mankind, for Jews and Gentiles. That's what the angels told the shepherds. The good news of great joy will be for all the people. Mary had to know what God said to Abraham, you, all the nations of the world, will be blessed. I say that before we get to this last one. Mary understood that the Savior, Jesus, the child that she bore, was for the whole world. But in verses 54 and 55, Mary specifically speaks of her people, her nation of Israel. God keeps his promises. He has given help to Israel, his servant. Jesus, the Messiah, is that help. I like what Philip says. The nation of Israel had fallen on hard times. The majority of the Jews lived in the diaspora. The homeland had been invaded repeatedly, and now cruel Herod sat on David's throne. For four centuries, God had been silent. Now he is about to speak and act as never before. Mary acknowledged that God is still acting in mercy. Mercy to send his son. Mercy to a nation that would soon reject the Savior that he sent. Verse 55, Mary knew that God keeps his promises. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and his descendants forever, she saw Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of God to her people. Jesus Christ was born a Jewish man in fulfillment of Jewish promises for the entire world. Abraham, in you, all the nations of the world, all the peoples of the world will be blessed. And Mary is saying, that's what's happening with this child. God hadn't forgotten Israel. Because of their unbelief, because of the rejection of Savior, Israel has been set aside for a time. There's a blindness in part that comes, but that won't always be. Just because Israel rejected when their Messiah, when Jesus came, doesn't mean that God won't fulfill his promises. They've been set aside for a time. God is ministering to the church, but there will come a day when God resumes his program and his promises for Israel. And Mary says, God, you keep your promises, and I'm so thankful for that. So there's one question in the song, Mary, Did You Know, that requires a little more thinking. We are so, maybe I should speak to more myself, I'm so accustomed to understanding that Jesus Christ had to die to be the sacrifice for our sins that I miss this next question. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is going to be heaven's perfect lamb? Well, the Old Testament talks about a suffering Savior. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, those are a couple of verses we know well. And it's speaking of the Savior, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. But what was the thinking of the day? They were looking for a physical deliverer, right? They had ignored the Old Testament scriptures of a suffering Savior. The religious rulers certainly weren't looking for a Savior who would come and die. The disciples, until Jesus died and rose again, they didn't know. I don't think Mary knew either. If I had to answer the question, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? I would say no. Remember when she was told by Simeon, behold, this child's appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. I don't think she knew that. I think she came to know that. I think Mary was obedient to everything that she knew. She believed God. She believed God, what she learned from his word. She believed the testimony of the angel that came to her, Gabriel, that came to her husband, the testimony of Elizabeth, the testimony that came from Simeon, that came from Anna, from the shepherds, from the angels. She believed all that she heard, and she obeyed it. She took the wonderful things with some of the more difficult things. What Mary did with what she knew is what we're supposed to do with what we know from the Word. And we know more than she did. A lot sooner than she did. We're called to obey the Word of God. To believe it. And to live it. And we know that Jesus Christ is the perfect Lamb of God. God himself, King of kings, Lord of lords, the great I am, the perfect Lamb of God who came to die for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder. We thank you for the truth in it. We thank you for all that you've given to us in your word, and now certainly we understand in a much greater way than we did before. Lord, help us to combine more than just head knowledge. Lord, help us to really know and respond in our soul and our spirit with worship. And Lord, give us the desire to tell others. Lord, help us not to keep this a secret. Father, we thank you for all that we have in Christ. Lord, we look forward to the day when we will know even much greater, when we're in your presence, when things will become even more clear to us, when our faith will become sight. For now, Lord, help us to be obedient to all that we know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.